Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning.
Some of you are awake. Come on, you got an extra hour of sleep yesterday. How many of y'all forgot to set your clocks last night? Oh, y'all are so good. Don't even start that. I know somebody in here did. Kayla. And of course, you all go by cell phones nowadays. It's not really fair. That's not a fair question. I actually remembered. So I rolled over and looked at my watch this morning while I was asleep. It's like, oh, you know, but yeah. Well, great to have you. If you're visiting today, my name is Jody May, and I'm one of the pastors here at Highlands. Great to have you if you're visiting. Pastor Bill's up here starting our morning off with our liturgy. And I just want to welcome you to what is now our 56th week in the book of Luke as we continue on. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to open to the book of Luke, the gospel. And we're going to start in chapter 11, beginning in verse 27 too today. The title of the sermon is, What's the Harm in Seeking a Sign? As Jesus actually calls it, an evil generation that goes looking for one. So we're going to talk about that this morning. But before we get into text, I just want to say a few things to the body here. Number one, just remember to keep Elam in your prayers. He had a little accident yesterday. He's doing okay, but I want you guys to make sure that you keep praying for him. He'll be fine. But we remember the Chambers, they're not here today, so maybe reach out, text them, just to tell them you miss them this morning. As well, I want to say happy birthday to all our generations, right? My Charlie, right? And Ian in the back somewhere. And Kayla, we won't say what generation. And Amanda, who's not here today, right? And Steve? Who? Katie, too? Wow, okay. Wow, this is like the birthday month. All right. Well, happy birthday, everybody. Here's your present. There you go. Great to have you here today. With that, I did see the Lasseter this week, went and visited with them for a while. They're doing good. They're not here, right? Because I just took my glasses off. They expect to be back soon with us. She's recovering well. She's going into the hospital this upcoming week to do some MRI work to see how far that mass has shrunk. We expect to see them soon. But they were doing really good. Spent some good time with them. So keep them in your prayers as she has a full recovery in this process, okay? So without further ado, though, let's go ahead and go to our Bibles today. We're going to begin in verse 27 of chapter 11 as we continue on in our story of Luke. As Jesus has now turned toward Jerusalem, he's looking toward his last part of ministry as he prepares to do his wonderful work on the cross and his resurrection. Beginning in verse 27 now, we will catch up today. And as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. This is God's word. May we pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, this truly inspired, infallible book, dear Lord, that was provided for us from our forefathers as we again celebrate the Reformation this past month, that cost many of our forefathers their life to get us your printed word so that we may have a recorded history, dear Lord, of our beginning, and also to know where it will end as you unite all things in your Son. And we give you praise for that today. But Father, to understand your word, we need your Spirit with us. So please send him and open our eyes to hear, to see your word and our ears to hear so we may understand your glory. Lord Jesus, please come now. Please speak because I can't convince anyone of who you are, but you can. So allow us to see the sign of Jonah today, dear Lord, for it's the only sign we need. We pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Introduction question for you today. What does it take for you to see that God is real? What does it take for you as a person to see that God is real. I've got this fella in my life. I've known this guy for a long time. We talk every so often. He's been a part of my life. And he reminds me of when I was a kid. I'm going to date myself, but please don't hold it against me. You ever watch that show, Yeehaw? Okay. Remember that song in there, those two nutcases used to sing? If it weren't for bad luck, I'd what? Gloom, despair, everything. Okay, right? You got to look it up. It's just funny. They would always tell these stories of how bad luck, there's just a magnet for bad luck, right? This guy that's in my life, he is like this story. Over the last 15 years, he's been in and out of the hospitals, in and out of jobs, four times in a hospital for major things. But out of those four times, they were all caused by accidents by his hand. And I just got off the phone this past week for number four. And you begin to, when you're talking with people like this, and I love this guy, and maybe you've got someone in your family, like maybe in your family like this, or a childhood friend that you just know, and it seems like bad things always happen to them, right? And I've tried to witness to them. I've read the Bible with them. I've tried to put them in contact with other Christians. I've prayed with them multiple times. I've counseled with them multiple times. And at the end of that, of our phone conversation the other day, this was his comment to me. God must not be done with me yet. There must be something more. And in that, as I was preparing for this sermon this week, I just started thinking about that as we're talking about a sign. And I'm thinking in my mind, because I love this guy, I'm kind of going, well, what the heck is he waiting for? What sign does he want? What could he possibly think in his life that God is holding out on him for? I mean, does he really think that maybe, I mean, just hear my angst for a minute here. There's a point to this. Does he really think that maybe he's the answer for the world and he's that important and God is not allowing him to die because of that? Or is it that maybe he's so bad and that God keeps sparing him for some great purpose? Or maybe bad things keep happening to him because he's not pleased God enough? And I start thinking about, well, what sign do you want other than the gospel? And I'm waiting for this for years. Do you know how frustrating that is? Do you have someone in your life like that? Maybe a wayward child, maybe a relative that you've been talking to for years, or someone you grew up with, and you're going, man, I don't know what you're waiting on, but the Lord is good. Come taste and see. And we last week membership class, someone brought up this phrase, and I won't embarrass them. It was interesting. I thought about it this week as we were talking about signs this week. And someone brought up this saying that says, I was brought up and I discovered, and someone taught me that I had a belief in God, but I didn't believe God. Does that make sense to you when I say that? That they were brought up to know that there was a God, that they believed in him, but they didn't really know how the relationship was supposed to work. And then as through the course of life, through a conversion experience, they become to actually believe God. Now here's the difference. In our lives, guys, as this person that I'm counseling with all the time in my life, there is this belief that God is holding out on a blessing. But I have a belief in God. And if I can just work out how religion works, if I can find the algorithm, if I do enough good, I'll finally get my blessing. Or if I can hold out long enough, God will finally reveal to me what my life is all about. That is a belief in God or in a God, but that is not believing God. Believing God is understanding that in the midst of your trials, God has a better plan for you. And the sign has been provided in the sacrifice of his son. Now come believe. That's a totally different thing, isn't it? And I think about this friend in my life whom I love for years. How different his life would have been if years ago, instead of just believing in a God, if he would have just believed God. Because it would have removed him from his friends, from where he lives, and from the things that he's encountered. One would have provided him a blessed life, I'm not saying he would have never had hardships, and all you all know that, amen. But one would at least provide him purpose and happiness and contentment, not desperation all the time. Now you know why you need God, don't you? Because we can't save ourselves, and I can't convince him, can I? It's very important that we wrestle with that as Christians. And really, as Christians, here's the thing. Everybody in the world starts out like this. A belief in a God, don't we? We believe that there is a God. Matter of fact, in James 2, James says, well, even the devil believes in the God, right? The demons, they don't worship him. They don't respond to who he is in the Bible, except with hatred. But then as Christians begin to grow and God reveals himself, that he had called them before time, that you mean something to him, that what he's done is for you and for all our brothers and sisters, you begin to get into it, well, you begin to believe it. But what happens in the Christian life all the time, if you're tracking with me, is that don't we always facilitate between the two of those? We vacillate, right? We are good for a while believing God and the promises that he has said to us in his word. But we always fall back into what? A belief in a God. And it's hard, right? Now, here's the good news. The older you get, can I give some good news this morning? You'll get more into this camp, believing God. Matter of fact, when you're looking at the grave, you better hope you're in this one, right? There's got to be good news in this ending somewhere. But we all go back and forth over time. So I just want to ask you, pray for my friend. And I'll pray for yours. I know everybody's got someone like that in your life, right? But fighting for belief in God means we're always trying. Here's what it means. When you're fighting for a belief in God, you're always trying to discover, how can I have a blessed life without him? That's what it is. How do I get to have what I want without him telling me what to do? But the other way to look at it is believing in God propels us to live a life that is blessed by his good graces. Where at some point you give up trying to make yourself happy, and you're happy with whatever he gives you, which makes you blessed. And you become content. And we all want to end up there. I want that for you this morning. So here brings us to point one. As we jump back into our text this morning, I just want to kind of give this as a part of our introduction, that a blessed life is equal to what? Believing God. You want to have a good life? Just believe him. Believe what he says to you in the revelation of his son, through his word, and you'll get there. But first, let's talk about something here this morning as we go back into context. Verse 27, it has this two words right here. And when you're reading the Bible, if you ever come across things like this, you need to stop for a minute. You want to know these important words? These things. And in your heart and your head, when you read the Bible, you should go, what things? What are you talking about? Because of these things. Luke wrote that so that that means refer back before. So what are we talking about here? Well, because of these things, that is the revealing words of Christ from last work, what we saw when Jesus finally made his draw a line in the sand statement. Do you remember that verse 23 where he says, whoever's not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me, you scatter. That's a big, like, you're either going to join me or not right now, Pharisees. That's where he was at that moment. Jesus had just produced, though, the good news. Right before he said that, he told the people, it's not the practice of the law, which these guys right here in front of you trying to get everybody on board with what they're saying. It's not the practice of the law that saves you, what the Pharisees are teaching that will save you, but it's the grace of God that saves you. Now, how did he say that? Well, when he taught them to pray. After he taught them the Lord's Prayer, he gives them the gospel. And it's right there in verse 9 of chapter 11. He says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Did he say anywhere in that, and you've got to be okay before you come to God? And you got to make him like you? No. Believe God. Ask and you shall what? That's the gospel this morning. Amen? Receive that this morning. So that is these things. Big context right there, isn't it? So let's keep going. Verse 27. And he said these things. Great, good news, the gospel. A woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, kind of a strange sentence to get thrown at you, right? Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't know what to say in that moment. Thank you. A little embarrassing, but okay, we got that. right? It's not normal context. You would be like, okay, cool. Jesus, can you imagine a football quarterback running off the field? Blessed is the, blessed is the woman. Yeah, that'd be kind of funny. All right, so Jesus responds, though, here's the key word, with a rather. He didn't get mad at her and correct her, slap her hand. He just says, he corrects the doctrine. He says, rather. I thought about this word just some more. I want to share this with you this morning. Look, when you walk with the Lord and you follow him, please expect in your life, it's not always about getting smacked down by our God, but it's always about getting this. You're going to get a rather all the time. The Lord is always about correcting us in what we believe and hold dear to our hearts, is he not? This is something I'm still learning every time, every week. Oftentimes I always get the, well, rather, Jody. How are you doing with your rathers? Don't take that hard, okay? That's just the Lord correcting you. Expect him, though. He says, sister, you know you're right, because her name will be written down in history. Let me correct that, right? Look, we all know Mary, don't we? I mean, we sing songs with her in it at Christmas time. Matter of fact, the church, early church, used to what? Pray to her, right? They took it a little too far, but Jesus knows, yeah, her name's going to be remembered. She's one of the elect. She got to birth me and was there as my mother. But he says, rather, verse 28, blessed rather are those who what? Hear the word of God and do what? Keep it. All right, now, that is defining for you what the word hear means. Anytime you see that when Jesus is talking about scripture and he's talking about the Lord and he says those who hear, what Jesus is meaning when you say the word hear is that means to obey, to take it in. This is the difference. If someone fell off the boat in troubled waters and you threw them the life preserver, whatever that was, on a rope, right? Or Jared, like when we went rafting, you throw the lifeline, right? And you tell the guy, reach for the rope and you'll be okay. There's the rope. I put it right by you, right? Now, that person heard it, but did they really hear it? Because if you don't grab it, what happens? You're dead, right? But Jesus says those who hear the word, when you actually hear it and see it, you grab onto it, it is to save you. That's hearing in the text. That's what Jesus is talking about. Those who hear, obey my word, are blessed by this. So this unnamed woman was declaring from a time when women were not valued the same as a man's society. This wasn't like it was back then as it is now. Perhaps she believed that being a physical mother of this amazing man, if he is truly the Christ, is what he's been showing us, was at least going to elevate Mary, one of our good old country girls, like it did for Sarah. Sarah was known to be a hero of the faith, or maybe Rebecca or Deborah. Maybe at least this one woman will get some type of prestige in history for all of women. But instead, Jesus states that all people are blessed, men and women, boys and girls, Jews and Gentiles alike. For those that believe, that is, obey God's word, you're blessed. Those that not just see what Jesus can do, those that just don't hear moral lessons in what Jesus was teaching, but those that get and respond to the authority in his words. For guess what, guys? He is the living word of God. Amen? That's his title, man. It's one of the things he's known for. He speaks for God. Those that have gone from believing in God to believing God. And that brings us to our second thing I want to talk about this morning as this thing keeps wrapping up, this argument, right, ramps up. So I want to talk about sign seekers this morning. And just to remind us that sometimes sign seekers, when you go seeking for a sign, it just means maybe you made a wrong turn along the way. You ever get lost on the road? Men, don't ever ask for directions, right? Let's keep that tradition. All right, so don't be ignorant. All right, so maybe you just made a wrong turn. Let's go back to verse 29. When the crowds were increasing, he's gathering them in now, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign. Now, I should just stop right there for a moment. And we all should be like, how many times did we ask God this week, if you'll just do this, I will do what? Think about it. Or in your lifetime, in the recent past, have you done that? But no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. We're going to discuss that right now. Look, what does he mean by that? An evil generation. First, let's talk about that phrase. Yep, he said it. And it's not just the Pharisees that he was talking to earlier in chapter 11. That's not who he's talking about. He's talking about the people who just came from the countryside, the common folk, the middle and lower middle class, the poor people, the ones who were coming to hear the good news that Jesus is making all men equal and he's got this ability to help us. He's telling them, you're evil. How to win friends and make converts, right? You're all evil. So anyways, I am too. And here's what's going on. They were corrupt because, well, we know this in our theology. They were born what? Were they born good or bad, guys? Bad. They were born, everybody's born sinful. And guess what else? Their teachers were corrupt. They got a double whammy. They're born evil and they've been taught by the Pharisees to work through the law as a way of salvation. That's why Paul declares that when he's talking about the Jewish culture in Romans 10:13, for none are righteous, no, not one. Nobody is. So what does it look like when people go looking for a sign, oblivious of their need for Christ? What does that look like in your life? I want to kind of set it up with an illustration here. You know, I don't do a lot of them because I'm just kind of boring that way. But I thought about this week. When I was, I just had a birthday too. So this is in the wintertime in the cold state of Florida. And I was 17. My youth pastor, Jimmy, one of the things we used to do and have fun together, we used to watch wrestling on TV. Okay, I'm showing you my redneck roots, okay? I'm talking about the old days. I mean, y'all know, like, remember Hulk Hogan back when he was actually could walk around. Like, Hulk Hogan, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, oh yeah, right? I'm talking like the Ultimate Warrior. I met that dude in person one time at the gym before. That was awesome. Ultimate Warrior, these guys, you're like, oh, I don't even know who you're talking about. Just go look it up. It's fun stuff. I started introducing Avery to it, trying to get him ready for wrestling season because I want to see him pull out the chair on somebody. But in that, that would be crazy. But we went, he got me tickets to go see wrestling live. And if you've never been to wrestling live, you got to go do it. And so we went to, I think it was the Hollywood Sportatorium. But back in those days, out west Hollywood, in Florida, there was nothing built up yet except this convention center. And it was in the middle of Sawgrass. So it was weird. You would have to get on 95, go west, take a couple of turns. You drive out in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden this place building opens up in the middle of nowhere. And that's where I had to go see wrestling that night. On the way home, when we went there, it was daylight. On the way home, guess what? It was dark. And because there was a new development, there were no lights out there. And Monica was with me. She probably reminded me to tell you about that. So we were out there, me and my carload of friends. And guys, this was back before you had GPS, smartphones. All you had was handwritten directions. And someone said, take a left here and take a right there. Right? So coming home, here's what happened. We're driving in the middle of nowhere. We got lost. But at that time and day, when you got lost out there, they had these roads. And I'm looking for like Hollandale Beach Boulevard or something crazy like that. These roads go straight. But what happens is because it's a new development, they would just dead in into Sawgrass. I mean, literally, road, stop. That was it. Everglades. We back up, go find another road. And it got so bad to the point we couldn't find the road that we were looking for. So we looked for signs. There were no signs, right? And we just kept driving down roads, up and down, running into dead ends, right? Till finally, I remembered something. Thank you, Lord. That every native Floridian in this room should understand. Cocos, I know you might not be named, but you know this, right? I want to hear amen. If you can find east, what road will you hit? A1A, Beachfront Avenue, or I-95, right? And Turnpike back in those days. So here's what I said, my dad was a smart guy. He told me, if you ever get lost, if you can figure out which way is east, you are found. Now, here's how cool that was. You're out in the middle of the woods, and it's nighttime. There's no sun. You can't figure. Do you know what you can do when you get out of your car in Florida at nighttime? Because you're sweating all the time in Florida. Never move there. It's miserable, okay? But you're sweating. Where's the breeze coming from? The east, because it's coming in off the ocean, and you can even smell the salt in the air. So you know all I did was this. Turned the car east, and I started driving. And guess what I found? I-95. Do you know what my saving factor was in all that? I stopped looking for signs. Did what I believed in. The memory was caught up in my mind when my father told me and taught me, if you just know where east is, point there and go. Because back in those days, too, if you were in the wrong parts of Miami, you break it out fast. And for all of this in our lives, sometimes we got to get to the point where you just stop looking for signs all the time. Follow what you know to be true. Head toward the sun. The sun rises in the east, and you're going to find your way home. In this world, in this life, you and I will only be given one sign to us, we're told in this text, to get us home. Did you know that? There's only one sign coming. The sign of Jonah. That's the picture of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. Where Jonah was on a boat, hid down below. The storm came. He was hiding from God. The boat was about to sink, causing the death of everybody on that boat. And Jonah finally confesses that it's him and he's thrown over. But unlike Jonah, the Lord steps on our sinking boat because no one can stop the storm, but Jesus can. And he's bound to a cross. And we have to throw him over. And he takes the wrath. And he's dead for 3 days. Do you see it? But then he comes up from the grave. Up from the belly of the fish. And proclaims the good news that we were made right with God. That is the only sign, guys, that we're ever going to get. You either believe it or you just believe in a God. One leads to a blessed life. One leads to death. Maybe like you, or maybe like me, you spend a lot of time navigating life, but you're getting more lost because you keep looking for signs. Am I on the right track? You're practicing a belief in a God, but not believing in God. And it shows because you can't find your way home. Listen to me, I have just three examples, and I could think of all day of this, but I'm just processing. Maybe you're suffering right now, my family, under the illusion that the answer to your financial woes is not learning how to budget, save, live on less better, but that God will deliver more money first. That's called a sign. That's called the financial upticks in your life. Oh, I'm doing something good. God is blessing me. How many times have we done that? Therefore, we think when God blesses us with more, he now loves me finally. And I'm ready to follow him because he's finally shown himself to be real in my life. The sign of following God in the midst of debt and having little is actually putting all you have and just doing it for God's kingdom. That's the sign because you're believing in him. Because you're actually finally believing that God will bless you with the little that you have. Maybe, another example for you this morning, you're suffering still under the illusion that when you sacrifice your life on the altar of work, whether it be man or woman in here, that God will reward you with a happy family finally. Listen, I can't tell you how many years I spent underneath that illusion. That if I could just make her happy, if I could just make my kids smile, that I've been a successful father. That's a bunch of you know what. That's the sign of the happy family, that you've made it and that God has blessed you. But the reality is that the family becomes content when you finally sacrifice your need for identity and financial security, which has been elevated over God in your life because they have you instead. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't make your family's happiness your goal, because guess what? They're faulty too, aren't they? That'll lead you astray every time. Instead, follow God's command to glorify God in your home first, because we're taught this in Matthew 6. Seek him first, what? And all these things will be added unto you. You'll have a blessed life. Perhaps you're suffering, last one this morning, maybe just associate with you. You're suffering and feeling lost because you take it. Now listen to me now. This one's going to hit home for a lot of us. It hits home for me, big time. Because you take too seriously how others treat you. If the spouse or the boyfriend or girlfriend or the child or the boss or the church leader treats you with respect, that's your sign that you've finally found some worth in life. Do y'all hear me? How many of y'all we have the sad daddy tales where we go into our lives looking for somebody to appreciate us? Daddy's, you know how important your job is, right? Instead, let's try anchoring our identity in Christ, not others. He was found worthy for you, was he not? And gave you all the benefits of worthiness to stand in front of God. Therefore, you need not anyone's kudos for your happiness. Hear me, church family. I don't care if nobody likes you. You don't need it. You desire it, but you don't need it to be okay with God. Paul was able to endure all things, and he was in the middle of a prison hole. That's believing God. And when you begin to live that, you will discover you don't need the kudos of man anymore. That's true freedom. Amen? So for all of us that constantly make wrong turns in looking for signs, those of us that are having trouble believing that God is just that glorious and he is good enough for you. Here's that last truth, though, from our text today. And there's good news in this. Is number three, one sign fits all. One sign fits all. Let's talk about this morning. This last part that Jesus is telling us. He says, for as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment of this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Just so you know, don't take this literally. Jesus is not talking about zombies coming back from the dead, right? He's talking about they will be known in history for actually realizing that God is real as compared to the Jewish people. That's what he's saying. And their witness will condemn my people. Jonah was one of the greatest prophets and reluctantly went to Nineveh, to a pagan, even Gentile nation, right? He didn't want to go. And to much to his dismay, after being coughed up by the fish, all the turmoil he went through, he walked through that town for 3 days preaching the gospel. It wasn't even great gospel. It was like, the Lord's going to blow you all up. That's what he was saying, basically. You're all are dead. You're doomed. Booyah. And guess what happened? They repented. Now, it had to be the Holy Spirit, right? Because you just don't, people don't come to God because you're going to tell them that kind of stuff. And they all change. And so it shows us really much that the blind, who were unable to see any signs at the time, God opened their eyes so that they could see. And then you have the queen of the south, which is really the queen of Sheba. You've all heard of her, right? In 1 Kings 10, she comes to visit King Solomon, the wisest king, the greatest of all the Israelite kings. And she comes because she knows that she can learn about God. That's what it says in Kings. That's why she came to see him. And along with her, she brought all these treasures because she was already showing subservience to this God. And so here, she finally hears what the people of Israel could not hear. So her people condemn Israel. And even if you want to take that one step further, in Matthew 12, Jesus talks about when he looks at the temple. He goes, there's a greater temple here. So you have someone, one greater than Jonah, one greater than Solomon, and one greater than the temple. And all you theologians should know, because Jesus is the greatest prophet, he's the greatest priest, and he's what? The greatest king. And the sign for the wicked generation is that the Gentiles will recognize him and respond to him as the king and will believe God finally. So this is how the church was birthed, my family. We have seen a whole people who are still looking for a sign in Israel, are they not? I remind you of Paul in Romans 11. Don't take that lightly. You are grafted in, you could be grafted out. Thank him for your salvation today. Because you don't see or hear on your own power. So what have we learned today? So we're wrapping up all this about signs. Is it really bad to look for a sign? I don't know. You tell me. What are we learning today? Here's the one point, and it's not in your bulletin today. I think it's on the screen, right, Steve? We're going to have it. Here's the one thing we learned today. That surrendering to God's call of repentance, which is obedience, hearing his word, is declaring your faith before your prayers and signs are answered, which brings you a blessed life. Steve, just keep that up as we roll through the end here. So family, let me appeal to you one more time today. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Let me appeal to you. In the name of Jesus, if your belief system is that God is working on you to prepare you for the life you want, the blessings you want, before you ever obey him, or if you are believing that he is upset with you and that is why your life does not pan out the way you want and requires more work from you to get him to notice you, if that's one of y'all, then you're still looking for the wrong signs. So in love, I say again, the only sign that you have coming in this life is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That claims it was enough. That claims it was finished. That claims there is more to life after death than what you ever get before it. And if you agree with that, then hear this word of God one more time and believe God. But he said, blessed rather those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. Believe God. Just don't believe in God. Head towards the sun. Follow him. And folks, you're going to find your way home. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beacon of hope that we have in your son. That when we are lost, by faith, we could stop looking to man for answers. We could stop looking to all the smart ways that people have developed how to find happiness. If we'll just turn toward your son, we can find home. Lord, help our hearts to know this today. Help our eyes to see this truth. The only sign coming for any of us, Lord Jesus, is you. There's no special little secret thing that we're making up in our lives that if you just answer this one prayer, I know. It is the sign of Jonah. Redeem us, Lord, and help us to believe this in our hearts. For we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.